41 past the hour, and we have the CEO of the North Platte Area Chamber and Development, Gary Pearson, with us. Gary, how you doing today?
Well,
other than the Husker hand.
Yeah, other than that, you know, it's happy Friday, right?
Yeah. Well, it would have been a lot happier if the Huskers would have held off the Hawkeyes. But
yeah, that was a tough one to watch.
We couldn't control
that. What a season they had.
Yeah, that's what you have to. And I like the way that, I don't know if you listened to Pavelka call it, but I think he really put a good bow tie on it last night. He wasn't complaining or anything. He was just remembering all the,
the great
season as a whole.
And fun team.
Was the way to look at it. And this team will be go down for now as the best ever. You have to say.
Yep, absolutely.
So it was fun while it lasted, and now Iowa and Illinois can go at it. Eliminate another Big Ten team, I guess. I think most people will be rooting for Illinois on that
one. I think you're right.
I don't see a lot of people going to be rooting for Iowa on that.
Yellow will be banned.
Yeah. Well, we'll see about that. We have updates on some legislation that's impacting development in the area. And as you just told me, we won one and lost one down the legislature recently.
Yeah, they're all rail-related, and one of them allows us to do the development the way that it should be done, and, you know, you can actually expend money on right-of-ways and easements, and if you have to bring utilities from a distance, which we do, you know, that it clarifies all the language. And so it makes the people have to administer the program, makes their life easier, certainly makes our life easier. And we're at that stage now where we got to do a lot of heavy lifting to get the rail park in full swing, and as well as the Inland Port Authority and what they're going to do at the park. So that part of it is good. The Inland Port thing, you know, Senator Jacobson tried hard to get that stopped, to where they're going to expand and add an additional inland port.
Grand Island, right?
Well, it's an application process, so they'll have
that
to compete for
that was mentioned
it,
that but, that would be the
but
likely
obviously
next
they're,
one. But
they're prepared to move forward as soon as the applications go in. And
did that say there could be up to three more?
Originally, that's how it came out of committee, but we were successful.
They amended it to
getting it back down to six.
Okay, so
and then when he tried to pull it out of, they attached it to all the Christmas tree bill.
Yeah,
you know?
One of those.
So including one of his key bills that he wanted to get adopted. So they were playing political games, obviously. So he tried to pull the language out about the Inland Port Authority, and it was a 15-15 vote not to be able to do that. And of course, we had some senators that were present not voting, so it was very, very political. And but you just roll
I
the punches,
that
go
be
on.
Forced and, to vote.
Yeah,
you
and
know.
We just,
that's kind of hiding. You know,
forward.
I don't want to upset anyone, so I'm not going to vote. You
know,
it's not why you're down there for.
Exactly. And the incentive bills big acquisitions, mergers like what Union Pacific's going through right now for retention and relocation of really significant high-paid jobs is advancing. So that's good to see. It did have a six-hour debate, so you're always going to have philosophical differences when it comes to economic development incentives. Yeah. But that looks like it has a really good shot also. And they got past the budget, you know, quagmire, and have that going forward now. So I think there's probably a sigh of relief from a lot of people in Lincoln. And, of course, there's going to be a lot of unhappy people with all the funding that got swept away, too. And we had, unfortunately, in the last 2 years, we had to play a lot of defense because of our rail park development funds. And so life goes on, and I think probably all those centers will be glad when it's all done.
Of course, the worry with another inland port popping up is they'll take business away from the Hershey one. But we'll have to see how that plays out. It may not impact it too much.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but they're not even giving the ones that were approved a fighting chance to make them work, because this is brand new to Nebraska. There's never been an inland port authority ever before. And so it's still, you know, a great unknown on how all this is going to work in the long term. And so it would have been nice for them just to say, hey, you know, we've made a commitment to these five. let's make sure that they're successful.
Yeah.
And then if it appears that, you know, everything's going well, then open the door. But
yeah.
I tried to make that argument, we were pretty well outnumbered from a lot of communities that wanted to see more, you know. Mm-hmm. So they all think it's in the name of economic development, but obviously they haven't been in the grassroots level to where they've tried to make these things work and get them started and put all the intricate details together.
I wonder if they've considered all that it's going to take to make it successful.
They have their challenges ahead for sure. Mm.
Public power process, MPPD and Dawson PPD?
Yeah, this is, as we know, the world of energy capacity has changed dramatically across the country, and certainly in Nebraska, where it's never been an issue ever before. We always had plenty of energy and low-cost energy, and, of course, the data companies that have come to Nebraska, the crypto deal down at Kearney, you know, they just sucked the energy right out from underneath the grid, and so everybody's challenged now to find energy. So you have to go through this long study process, and you have to have a viable prospect that needs the energy, and you have to identify how much. Then they have to do the study to figure out where the energy is going to come from, when can it be delivered. How are you going to build the transmission system to get there? So we have now engaged in that process with Nebraska Public Power District and went through the whole deal, and we've cut the check. The initial check was $180,000 just to get the study going. And then they'll do the study, and then we're working with Dawson Public Power on. It appears that we're going to have to bring the transmission over from the Sutherland area into the Hershey Park, and it's still going to have some limitations to it. So we've got a game plan initially, and that's going to be expensive as well, be in the millions of dollars to get it there. But, you know, you can't have a rail park without it. So the public power districts have been phenomenal to work with. You know, this whole issue isn't all on them. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, you know, when people embrace those kind of big projects that use a lot of energy, and being public power, they can't really stand there and say, no, you can't, and yes, you can. You know, it's a public entity. Unlike right. every electrical system in the United States, Nebraska's the only public power that exists. So the staff works hard to try to help that, and they've been nothing but wonderful to work with over the years as we've tried to get this rail park rolling. And now we got to do the heavy lifting, you know, and the major expenditures to get it there. And then long term, if we have, as we continue to develop, if we're going to have major power users at the rail park, we'll have to look at bringing it even a further distance, probably from the area up by Gerald Gentleman. And then you got issues of crossing the interstate, crossing the river, you know, and those are not easily done and are very time consuming. Yeah. You got to do studies, you got to do all kinds of stuff. And so we'll just make those decisions down the road, and it'll probably be a little bit of a deterrent, you know, trying to figure out, you know, if something is a high energy user, we're just going to probably find a different location for it. But the thing with a rail park is that we've never had the ability to have rail access for industry in Lincoln County over the last 80 years because of the jet congestion in Bailey Yard. And you'd certainly never trade a Bailey Yard for anything.
Right.
But to Union Pacific's credit, they worked with us very diligently and opened that door, and we were able to now develop the rail park and get that going. And then to complement that, you know, we were also successful in getting the Inland Port Authority. Lincoln County went through that process to do that. We married it up with our rail park, and which you have to either have rail, navigable waters, or air. To be able to have an inland port. So this made perfect logical sense for us to do this. And I got a great volunteer committee there that the county has appointed, some real expertise from people that come from different walks of life that are working hard with us to make that happen. And so we're We're now engaged with getting a drop and pull yard and a transload area, a permanent one in there. We're right now operating out of the former Greenbrier facility, which is now the Inland Port Authority headquarters. So we got to quit using that name Greenbrier and start referring to it by its proper name. And there's a little sidetracks there. And so operating out of there, and they've signed an operator agreement with the company that also is doing the Project Grit. They have a different corporation that does this, and then they're going to just work on like a commission only basis, and it'll have an oversight committee that will determine all the different projects and loads that go out. They'll make the decision, and then these guys will just provide the services for in and out of the rail park. And it's the most cost-effective way, and the only cost-effective way we can do it. They've been real challenged in this, that state was good with creating it, and they provided them a little bit of money for some infrastructure upgrades, equipment, and that kind of thing. But until it's fully operational, you're not going to produce kind of revenue to make it work. So one of the things we talked about internally, and now it's an application has been submitted, is to ask for $200,000 to help the operational part of it over the next 5 years. And that's just that will be a one-time $200,000 request, but then they'll have up to 5 years to which to expend it. And of course, everything is done through invoices and that kind of thing. And so that goes before the Quality Growth Fund Committee next Tuesday, the 31st. Okay. That meeting will be at the chamber. We are the administrator on behalf of the city to vet all the applications and then set up everything. And then the committee, which is appointed by the mayor and ratified by the city council, will consider that application. And then provided it has a favorable recommendation, it'll go on to the city council probably at their April 7th meeting. That's going to be a marathon of a meeting. I mean, had all those public hearings out of the planning commission going forward. And so there's going to be a lot of good action being done on April 7th. And so that'll happen then. And then provided it does get funded, that'll be a great boost to moving things further along. And one thing you can't do these things without being able to operate, you know, properly. And it's been a kind of a deterrent at present, trying to limp by, you know, trying to every it's just difficult, you know, if you don't have it. So
you've listed a lot of other things too, and a reflection that this week marks a year since we had our sustainable beef ribbon cutting. So yeah, it's hard to imagine, but it has gone quickly. And
March 24, 2025, and you look at what they accomplished in their first year. It's just unreal.
All the hiring they've done and absorbing some of the Tyson people, I think.
And they absolutely have exceeded every goal that they had. You know, they're on their way to doing 1,800 head a day. They were going to originally cap it at 1,500. We're going to do the one shift operation. They're being able to extend a few hours and do some Saturday stuff. I believe that's kind of their goal, and they're up to 1,000 employees now. And just done, they have a phenomenal management team and great board that oversees things, you know, and a tremendous partnership with Walmart. And it's just been a real success story. It's got a lot of national attention. And so congratulations on their first year anniversary. And that was a monumental day in North Platte. And that was, I don't think we'll ever see another ribbon cutting with that kind of dignitaries. And 1,000+ people that showed up, and it was something special. And so good recognition on that. And it's, you know, not only are they hiring, it's we've got a real healthy economy here, and it's really moving along. I mean, Union Pacific has made a commitment to add 90 more jobs. They're probably about halfway into that process now. I know they're pleased with the number of applications they've had. Owens Corning Manufacturing has been advertising for additional shift work in their second shift. And I talked to them yesterday, and they're exceptionally pleased with the number of applications they had. And And they've got their full hiring done now, and they're training them. And it sounds like they're going to launch this additional line on April 13th. So they're now at 130 employees. Mm-hmm. And so they were the first company in the former ownership of Masonite to do the automation part of, mm-hmm. of the manufacturing for the door manufacturing. And so they've got a real gem there, and they're just doing really, really well, and it's great to see. And Walmart Distribution Center, I think this is probably the first time since maybe the early on when they opened the doors that they're at full complement of a number of employees. So so we found some silver linings in unfortunate layoff, you know, that happened, that there's a lot more people in the job market where it was really, really thin, you know, previously. Yep. So that's all good, and it's all going to add to the economy here, and of course all our housing developers that are going hot and heavy right now are very pleased. You know, there's going to be more jobs in the market, so it's we're hitting on a lot of good cylinders.
Got a Riverside Housing groundbreaking coming up at the end of April.
Yeah, this is the this group was one of the first groups that actually came to North Platte when they recognized that we were going to have a housing. It's just taken them a little longer to get going because mm-hmm. of the Francis Street extension and so forth. We've had the one development group out of Des Moines, Iowa, that's partnering with some people out of Nebraska too on that development. But this will be the next phase, and they're going to have some show homes out there on April 30th when they had ribbon cuttings at groundbreaking is going to be at 4:30. They'll have a little ceremony there, and they'll. And so there'll be more details will come out about that through the chamber, and like to see a nice showing from the community. They really hung in there for I bet they worked on this thing for almost 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, lots of other good things happening here as we wind down. The folks that love Chinese food are really happy about Panda Express.
Yep, they had a really nice grand opening, great turnout, and people were lined up. Like I think there was 80 people that was there early morning, and they were lined up to be the first ones in line. And we have our ambassador patron party coming up on April 10th. That's always a great time. It's at Venue 304. They really classed it up this year. So it's going to be something pretty special. And tickets are going fast. We have to cap it at around 200. So so contact any ambassadors you know or call down the chamber office if you're looking for a ticket. But guaranteed good time there. We've been meeting with the core group of the nonprofits as a chamber, it's been a very mutual beneficial thing for both of us to understand where the community is headed and how a lot of the people that they serve you know, that we're trying to keep them in our workforce or get them in our workforce. And so those have been real productive meetings. We continue to work with some of these energy data companies that are bringing their own solution with them on energy production and behind the meter, but it's a real complicated and very, I mean, we've got like five of these companies now looking throughout Lincoln County to locate here, and even if one of them winds up being reality, that's $1 billion in new investment in the community, and some very well paid jobs.
Yeah.
County got their comprehensive plan adopted. That was a 2-year process, and I was a little bit surprised. I mean, some of their initial meetings were the place was packed, but there was just a handful of people actually at the public hearing when they adopted this. So they've vetted it out well, and I think they've got some language in there. It was kind of a compromise for some things, some processes that developers have to go through and so forth. So kudos to the Lincoln County Planning Commission and the commissioners for getting that done. The city will soon be having their public hearings on their new comprehensive plan and the housing study, and that's been a long, long process as well. And we're also now engaged with a potential senior housing project. We'd like to locate that in the downtown area. I can't get into the details there, but this is a tax credit project through the Nebraska Investment Finance Authority. You have to compete really hard on these things to get them funded. And about one in four projects get funded, but we think we got a good game plan. We're working with Messner Development, a very experienced tax credit developer. We've got Lincoln County Community Development Corp that's going to be involved in this. And so we've had a kind of a core group meeting and talking about it, and there'll be a lot more coming out publicly about that in the very near future. So
yeah.
Things just been really busy, and we're going to keep them that way, and should be another great year in 2026 to keep all this momentum going.
We are looking forward to it, and we appreciate your update each month, Gary, on what's happening. I think people enjoy hearing good things about the direction the development within the city and the county are going. Well, we've got a lot of good things
happening. Thank you guys for all you do, and thanks for all the great work you did, too, on getting the information out about the fires.
Yep.
And just a big shout-out, final say, about all the volunteers that have helped that, and neighbors helping neighbors, and what a tragic thing that happened. And boy, do we need the moisture in a worse sort of way. I see there might be a little slim hope next week.
We got our best chance in quite a while of next week. Gary Pearson's been our guest, second half of Mugs in the Morning. Enjoy your weekend, sir, and we'll fit you in at the end of April, okay?
Thank you.